heaven.
Muhammad Nabina.
Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
زينت السماء وضعت الجبال أمرت البحار وخلقت الجنان سيرت الكواكب أضأت النجوم فجرت الأنهار فأرحت القلوب وللعباد أنزلت الإسلام وللهداية أنزلت القرآن وبالسلام أرسلت الأنبياء من الظلام إلى الضياء سألت حين رفعت يدي عن رحمة وسعت كل شيء في ضعف ربي أشكو and the heavens above. You're closer to me than my jugular vein. You answer my prayers when I'm hurting in pain. And in return for worship and love, you give eternal peace beyond earth. And all around we see all your signs. Every prayer so his mine. سألت حين رفعت يدي عن رحمة وسعت كل شيء في ضعف ربي أشكو
Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My name is Abdul Hakim Qasim and I welcome you to another edition of Everyday Muslim Show on Women Radio 91.7 FM. Today Today is 7th December 2024, corresponding to the 5th of Jumada Thani, 1446 AH. We are already in the 6th month of the Islamic calendar, and Ramadan is just less than 3 months away. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala counts us among those who would witness the holy month of Ramadan. On every day, Muslims, we try to address misconceptions about Islam, force our peaceful coexistence within the society, and guide the everyday Muslim on their journey in Islam. Allah the Exalted, the Almighty, says in the glorious Quran, call on me and I will answer you. He also says, when my servant asks you, Muhammad, concerning me, tell them I am very close to them. I answer the supplication of every caller when he calls upon me. Let them also heed my call and believe in me that they may be rightly guided. You'll find that in Surah Al-Baqarah, Quran chapter 2, verse 186. Today, inshallah, we'll be taking a look at the power of dua, supplication, and we shall be zeroing in on the importance and etiquette of supplication. And today, our guest discussant is Hajjah Sakina Adefumilola Sain. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
All right, for those of you who probably by meeting Hajjah Sakina for the first time, she is a remarkable individual with a diverse range of roles and talents. She's not only a mother, but a devoted woman who continuously strives to please Allah. In addition to her personal commitment, she serves as an educational consultant who provides valuable guidance and support to students and educational institutions. Also a marriage counselor who assists couples in their marital journey. She's demonstrating her dedication to entrepreneurship and innovation. Her expertise extends to being a certified handwriting expert, adding a unique skill to her repertoire. She is a proud graduate of Lagos State University of Education, formerly known as Adeno Musa College of Education. Again, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Hajjah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, sir. How are you,
sir? Alhamdulillah. So, today we want to look at dua, and dua is often described as the weapon of a believer. It is a dua saiful mu'min, that dua, the supplication, is a sword of the believer. So, this, looking at this statement, what does it mean in the context of strengthening our relationship with our Creator, Allah, in today's world?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. We give all thanks and adoration to Allah Azza wa Jal, who has made it a reality today. We pray that he continue to plant our feet firm on this path of Al-Islam. We seek his blessings and benevolence on the best of mankind, Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his companion, his household, and those that train his path to the day of reality. Now, alhamdulillah, a dua saiful mu'min, as you have said, dua is the weapon of the believer. It serves as a direct link to Allah, enabling us to seek his help, guidance, and mercy in every situation. It is a means of saying that we don't have a power of our own. We can't do anything. It is only Allah that has control over everything. And at times, he just wants to test us. He bring about trials and tribulations. He wants to see how we are going to come back. It's just like, for instance, the relationship between mother and children. Even the Prophet ﷺ has told us that Allah is closer to us and he loves us even more than the love a mother can give to the child. So he wants us to always seek him, talk to him. If life is rosy, like I always think of, it's possible everybody forgets the Creator. It's possible everybody forgets Allah and think that it is our initiative. It is because we know how to do things right. It is because we are wise. We are full of wisdom. You know, but at the time, Allah will just reshape everything and the table will turn. And you will be like, oh, I need to consult my Creator. Okay, like during the time of Firaun, it was a reality. Like, he doesn't fall sick. He has power. He has money. He has posts. There was fame and the likes. It makes him forget who he really was. And he was you know, going beyond the boundary, calling himself Allah. So I see life challenges as one of the things that redirect us to Allah's love and how much we want to rely on him and realizing that he is the one in control of everything, both in the world, on the earth and in the heaven. So it is a direct link. You don't need anybody to connect to Allah. Allah wants you to talk to him directly. Allah wants you. He already knows. He knows what he wants. He knows. He brought about the trials and tribulations. He brought about those things that you are not pleased with. But he wants you to call on him. For instance, at times we know what our children want, but we want them to act, you know, as human. So yeah. Allah wants us to always come back to him and say, my Lord, I want this. My Lord, see the trials you have put forward to me. Look at the challenges I'm facing. Allah is pleased. He wants to hear our voice. He wants us to reconnect with that love he always has for us. So at every point in time, as believers, we should know that dua is the only weapon we have to scale through the trials and tribulations of this world so that we can always go and make our Creator peace. May Allah make it easy for each and everyone.
Allahumma ameen. Although, you know, in Islam, we usually don't have this situation where people share testimony probably on a weekly basis at Juma or every time we come to the mosque to say, okay, I have to share a testimony, showing the power of Allah and probably the power of prayer. But do you have any personal experience, either from history or from your own person, that you can show to illustrate the transformative power of supplication in overcoming challenges, you know?
The first experience I'd like to share is is always amazing to me right from when I was in primary school was when the first time I listened to the Battle of Badr and how everything happened. It was, you know, if you do Islamic study in school, people, you will listen to the story and you'll be like, wow, is it possible? When the Sahabas are just 313 in number and there was thousands of Kafirs that was going to face them in war. And the Prophet, salam, Allah Akbar. I can imagine the tears, you know, the supplication, the connection with his Lord, like, don't put me into shame. We are few in numbers. We are not even, you know, at times you just have to be humble and ridicule yourself. Like, what is there to achieve in normal? Sorry?
I said to humble ourselves before our Creator.
Exactly. Like, I don't have the power of my own. And I have just 313 people with me. And these Kafirs have thousands of people with them, you know. I can't imagine how he would so humble himself before his Creator, like, Allah just wanted to help me. And, you know, if you are just listening to the story of how 313 had to face thousands of people, you'll be like, you don't need to deceive yourself now. You should just go and sit down. Just hide somewhere, you know. But you can imagine it will build up the trust that, no, it is a total submission, a total reliance on Allah. That, no, it is not a number. If Allah grants us victory, then the victory is actually coming from Allah. If we lose out, it means that it is not by our mind. That is the way Allah just wants us. That is when you realize the difference between qadar, that, no, this is just the qadar of Allah. So don't rely, Allah, at every point in time, Allah doesn't want us to rely on the material things we have, those things that we can see. You understand? Allah wants us to connect back to him. We should humble ourselves and ridicule ourselves. I remember when I was reading about Surah Al-Fil, when, you know, the elephants, and people that don't have anything, that's okay, you know, there was a determination to go and destroy the Kaaba. And you know, many times I read the surah, the meaning, it gave me a lot of sukkah. Like, Allah was reminding the prophet. He said, oh, Muhammad, have you not seen how your Lord dealt with the owner of the field, the elephant? Yeah. I mean, which came from Yemen, under the commander, Abrar al-Ashram. Intended to destroy the Kaaba. Allah said, did he not make their plot go astray? Like, some people were planning like this, and Allah has his own plan. And Allah says that he sent against them birds.
you know, ordinarily when you are thinking bread to elephant, how does it relate? Normally, we believe that elephants will crush birds. They are just too, no, they are just too small. Mm-hmm. But look at how Allah organized his own thing. From the sky, Allah said, Allah was striking them with stones of sigil, baked clay, and they were turning to pieces. And you know the most wonderful things, Allah is the best planner. And when he decides to do things for his servants, Allah Akbar, you will just be pleased and be satisfied. Allah says, and we made them like an empty field. You know, after they were being destroyed, Allah didn't leave the elephants to cause another kind of, you know, they were rotting. People will start getting the stuff to go and pack them. No, Allah sent down the birds to eat them up. And the place was so cleared that it was like an empty field. Allah Akbar. So there are so many experiences as a Muslim. Even for new children when they're just coming on earth, they know their lies, you know. The reality is just much. So many times we feel that we have capacity to do things, but wallahi, we have no power of our own. And as a believer, if Allah really loves you, Allah will always, there is always check and balance to bring you back to your creator. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was still teaching, and wallahi, I used to get concerned about this particular pupil, like, I will explain, I will do this, I will do practical example just for the pupil to understand what I've been saying. Then later I realized that, no, my fault was not yielding. So I went back to my creator. I told Allah, you are the owner of the heart. You are the one that can control things. I don't know how to go about it again. You know, at this time, Allah just wants your humble resolute that. No, you just have to be humble. So I told Allah, and I just saw that even the child, you know, a child that was not interested, there's no amount of effort that you could make. It's just like a mother trying to train a child, and the child was like, no, that's not the way I want to go. You know, if you remember very well the story of Prophet Noah, when he was like, my Lord told me that he's going to destroy us. And the child believed that, yes, Allah was going to destroy that nation then. He believed his father, but he decided not to go the way his father wanted to go. And the father was running after him. And my son, come and enter the boat. Then, you know, until Allah shouted on him and said, no, that child, he said, my child, where are you going to my child? He said, no, that child is not yours. We just allowed him to come through you. Allah Akbar. So, you know, it is to tell us that at every point in time, we are not the controller of things. It is Allah. So many times when you ask for things from Allah, it doesn't go your way. If you are patient enough, you will now feel later in life, you will understand why Allah has denied you that thing. You understand? So, you know, it is love of experience.
Sorry for cutting your show, but I feel like I want to just connect it because I know quite well that as much as we need to believe in Allah and to humble ourselves before Him in making our supplications, but you know, there are times we actually make some of those supplications and we actually don't get that result that probably we desire. So how do we reconcile our expectations with Allah's wisdom when our heartfelt supplication seems unanswered? Because, you know, sometimes I've been praying and I probably didn't get my prayers answered. Is it that I didn't pray, or is it that I didn't pray well? Or what exactly is it? So that when we pray and probably we didn't get what we desire. So how then do we reconcile with our Creator in this regard?
Now, alhamdulillah, first and foremost, we should know we are praying right. So many times we don't pray right. You understand? Once we are cleared that we prayed right, and I'm going to just list some things we need to do. You know, all praying right at times comes with you reading some series or some Islamic text on dua, and maybe Allah giving you the inspiration that this is how I want you to call on me. Firstly, you don't shout on Allah. Allah has laid down His principle. You don't shout, Allah, I want this. You don't command Allah. You talk to Allah in a humble way. And you don't seal up your lips.
You don't demand. You don't command.
Yes, you don't command Allah. You plead. You request. Because you don't say, Allah, I want you to do this thing for me. So time.
So they command and they tell you, you know. So they
No. Allah has stated it that you don't command me.
Let the heaven open up. Let the angels.
No. You don't need Allah to is beyond It's just like a servant talking to the king, and you say, my king, I want you to do this for me. I want, no, as human, you feel irritated. Even as parents to children, and your child comes to meet you and say, daddy, today you have to do this, tomorrow you have to do this, and you have to do this. No, at a time, as human, you feel irritated, like, what the heck? Why are you talking to me like that? You understand? So even as friends, you don't just say, my friend, I want to do that. No, even if you are friends or you are families, there is a way you make a request. You know, people get angry when you make a request and you are not, you are asking for something in a commanding tone, not a request. People will say, look at the way he's even talking to me, like he even did the work in my pocket. You understand? So much more, we should always put ourselves in some shoes before we even try to do it to our creator. You understand? Like, if I'm the creator, how would I feel if I need to, if this person is commanding me? You understand? And you don't shout on Allah. You ask Allah in a humble way. Another thing as Muslims is, you don't seal up your mouth and say, I'm talking to Allah from my heart. No. You whisper. You whisper. It took me so many decades of years to understand that you need to whisper. For me to understand the reason why you need to whisper. You need to whisper because at times we talk to Allah by heart and our minds are not there. There has to be a connection between you and your Lord. Let the heart connect with its creator. This is how to ask Allah for things. And we have been guided by the noble prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you ask dua, praise Allah first. Subhanallah. Allah, you are the most gracious. You are deed, you're that, you know. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, I give all thanks to you. Gratitude, you know, is one factor that doesn't make our du'as to be accepted. Because so many times we always dwell on what has not been given. We forget all the thousands and millions of blessings we have. You understand? You know, some people will complain. We are always full of complaining. If you complain, Allah has said it, that He will increase you in complaining. So if you want things from Allah, be a thankful servant. Be full of gratitude. And be full of istighfar, seeking forgiveness. So many times we question Allah, why me? That word is absurd. Why you? You are always a sinner. You deserve whatever comes your way. Don't say why me. You can be good. Do you know to what extent you're good? You can feel you are the best. Do you know to what extent? And I say somebody came to visit me and I gave that person water, I gave him food. What if that is not what he wanted? You understand? What if I give him water, maybe he was really hungry or she was hungry and I gave him, it would be like, this is not what I'm asking for. You understand? You don't even know to what extent you have done. Sorry?
I said we should not attach righteousness to ourselves to think that.
Exactly. Because there is no yardstick that we use in measuring our human, our level of piety or righteousness before Allah. There are so many things we do. So, at times, it might even be you saying the truth and keeping quiet. Might be what Allah is not pleased with. You understand? There are times that we see things that we feel like, well, it's none of my business. It's none of my concern. Do you know if Allah is not pleased with that action? You don't know. So don't question Allah and say, why me? that's so absurd. It's so insulting. You don't ask your creator, why you? And as a Muslim, after we have fulfilled all righteousness, we have fulfilled all the conditions of prayer and our prayers are not accepted, we have been guided. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that there are three ways. There's no prayer that a Muslim says that it is not accepted. Allah Akbar. There is no prayer. For as long as Allah has made you to request and you requested you have fulfilled all the conditions that are expected of you, then your prayer has been accepted. Now, here are three ways at which your prayers can be accepted. The first one is either Allah save that thing for you till the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, that is to the day of resurrection. Maybe Allah feel that you don't need this thing on earth. Let me just keep it for you. And when you meet it on the day of resurrection, I will tell you what the Prophet says, we are going to, the way we are going to kill. The second thing is there might be some unfortunate incidents, some calamities that are coming your way. And Allah feels that instead of answering this prayer for you, why doesn't He help you to remove this calamity? And using the prayer, your dua, your request to block the calamity. You understand? And another thing is, Allah might grant you what you actually desire. So we should understand that the eyes we have are just what we can see in our phone. We don't even know what is happening behind us. So we should know that Allah is the perfect planner and He has a reason for everything. So we should be rest assured that the prayers that are not going to be accepted, you wouldn't even make it at all. If Allah has made promise, He's a God that fulfills His promise and is beyond all things we have been asking for. He has capacity beyond everything. If He if He grants us all our requests, He doesn't depreciate anything from His mighty. Neither does He increase His mightiness. So we should know that whatever He has done for us, for our own benefit, we might not understand now, but in the future, on the day of Yawmul Qiyamah, we are going to be thankful and know that He has really answered our prayer.
All right, Jazakumullah. Because I love the fact that made us understand that there is no prayer that Allah doesn't accept. So that should not stop us from requesting, even if the prayer has not been accepted, or probably we have not really felt that our prayer has been answered. But there is no prayer that we request that Allah doesn't answer. But the only thing is the ways in which He answers our prayers. The three different ways that you have mentioned. Now, I like indirectly, you've also like answered my question, probably that had to do with some of the etiquettes of making dua, supplication to Allah. You talked about, putting forward some of the statements of remembrance, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, and the likes like that. Probably, I wouldn't know if I told you, add more some of these etiquettes. I know some people talk about probably doing ablution, facing the Qibla, and some other, etiquettes that have to do with prayer. Apart from probably, don't shout. And at the same time, we need to open our mouth to request. We don't shout, but at the same time, you don't keep quiet. Just say, probably, it's in my mind that will do it. So, what other etiquettes do you think we can use to do it?
Firstly, is we should reflect on our intentions. We should be certain that our requests will be granted. We should not have any doubts, because we should know that there is a bigger picture of our answering, of Allah answering our dua, finding comfort in Allah's nearness. Another thing is, when we feel that the road is blocked and our duas are not accepted, one of the etiquettes of dua is first cleansing yourself. That is lots and lots of istighfar. Because the Prophet ﷺ says, once Allah has forgiven you, then the next thing is for Him to send down His blessings and bounties on you. So even the Prophet ﷺ says, he doesn't go without seeking for Allah's forgiveness 70 times a day. And when he was asked, Allah has forgiven you, he said, won't I be a grateful servant? Mostly, we should inculcates the attitude of appreciating Allah first before asking for requests. Let's cultivate the actions of saying Alhamdulillah often, saying istighfar. Then there should be humility in dua. Those are the true fundamental steps. Then acknowledge our dependence on Allah. Let Allah know that we rely only on Him and we are expecting. We can also use practical steps are making using Allah's magnificent names to ask for Allah's mercy. Another thing is raising our hand in and lowering our heart. That is, we should always ask for Allah's submissive. Allah should make us a servant that are submissive. You understand? So we should make dua. It's good, it's very, very okay that we should be in Udu, facing the Qibla. Then we should form this attitude of calmness and focus. Sometimes we form this habit of, we are making dua and being distracted. Like, subhanAllah, yes, you can go in, alhamdulillah. And sometimes we make it a jest. Like, sometimes we'll be dancing, asking, if we go, maybe we appeared before a governor, and we told the governor, "Governor, I want you to do this for me." The person will see us as a serious person. So we should form a habit of sincerity and focus. We should be less distracted. The fact that we are seated in one place, nobody is watching us, it's just like most times I feel like, okay, Allah is in my presence and I'm asking something from Allah, then I find it insulting, like facing another person, you understand? It sounds insulting. I say it's insulting. Like, you're asking your mommy for something and somebody is not talking to you and I say, okay, you are not answering that person. Leaving your mother or maybe your elder ones, they'll feel insulted too. So I feel insulting when you're asking Allah for something and you started dancing or you started, you know, there should be kind of comportment. Then we should use heartfelt dua. We should also express ourselves in languages that Allah understand. We should use our language. Apart from the normal devotions that we make, when we want to request something from Allah, we should use our language so that we'll be able to express ourselves better. You understand? So begin your dua by praising Allah, acknowledging His greatness. Confess your own shortcomings. Stop saying, what is it? Tell Allah, "Ya Allah, I have no power except with you. I am in need of your mercy." All these things are, call Allah by His beautiful names. Ya Rahman, Irahamni, oh, the most merciful. Show mercy on me. To Allah belongs all the best names. So invoke Him. Allah said it in Quran 7 verse 180. He said we should call on Him. Ya Ghafar, Ighfirli, oh, the most forgiving. Forgive me. All those things, all these names, the 99 names of Allah, any of these can be. Ya Fatah, Iftani, Ya Allah, open doors of your mercy for me. So all the things are expected. There are steps and etiquette by which we should request. And we should have, the last one is, we should have this belief that our prayers are answered. As far as we are looking forward to the greater picture, that if those prayers are not accepted or we are not granted the request, there are reasons behind it. Is either one of the three I've mentioned, both. May Allah accept our dua. Then we should be persistent. We should not say, "I make dua today and that is all." No, we should, Allah wants us to talk. I remember the Prophet says, Allah loves listening to His servants. And, you know, keep persisting. The more you persist, if a child should go to his mother and say, "Mommy, I want biscuits today, in the morning, in the afternoon," it will get to a thing, the mother will be like, "Okay, let me grant this child his or her request." So we should know that. We should be consistent. We should not just say it and leave it. Most of all, I have found relief mostly in istighfar. And alhamdulillah, Allah has been so wonderful. When things happen, I just go back to your istighfar and show more gratitude. Allah, I'm thankful for life. I'm thankful for bread. I'm thankful for everything. You know, at every time, look at the wonderful things Allah has done for you. It will make those things that has not come to reality, you know, it will be lighter on your heart, and Allah will bring them when you are not even expecting.
All right. Jazakumullah khairan. I love all those etiquette that you have explained. I believe that our listeners would have taken one or two messages from that etiquette, because it's important that we follow these etiquette to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, inshallah, we'll go on a short break now. When we return, the program continues. Please don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
It's life as you know. You reap what you sow. And when you do good, Allah will protect you and stop you falling down. Allah, we surrender. 'Cause He knows all, no compromise. Hears your laugh and feels your cry. He is there all the time. Make dua, praise Allah, our iman will grow. Inshallah, we will go far, there's a long way to go. We praise a lot, it's from the heart, love will keep us whole. And when you're feeling down, you know the way to go.
You are listening, you're still listening to Everyday Muslim on WFM 91.7, and we have been discussing the power of dua with a focus on the importance and etiquette of supplication, the etiquette and importance of dua, because we know quite well that as human beings, as much as we feel that Allah has bestowed us with the power, the strength, the knowledge and the ideas with which you can achieve things, we know quite well that we cannot do everything by ourselves. All right, yes. So, and that's why we always need to call on Allah, to supplicate to Him and make our request unto Him. And discussing that with us is Hajia Sakina Difumola Saeed, an entrepreneur, an educationist, and a marriage counselor who has been taking us through the power of supplication. You can be a part of this discourse by calling the number 07000-917-917, 07000-917-917. Our toll-free line for the female callers is 0800-1235-917, 0800-1235-917. You can also send a message by SMS or WhatsApp to the number 0703-175-6537, 0703-175-6537. So, Hajia Sakina, now, you know, talking about, you know, sometimes guys will feel overwhelmed by the different challenges that we face. So how can dua, supplication, become a source of emotional resilience and, you know, spiritual strengthening for a believer, especially at this moment when we feel down and overwhelmed by our challenges?
Now, alhamdulillah, firstly is gratitude play a profound role in shaping the way we make dua. And it also amplifies its impact on our spiritual, emotional, and practical lives. So when we approach Allah with a grateful heart, it transforms our dua into an act of worship. It also reinforces our connection with Allah and enhances our sense of commitment and trust. Gratitude, as Allah has said it, is a gateway to Allah's mercy. Allah has said it in Quran 14, verse 7. He said, if you're grateful, I'll surely increase you. So when the heart is overwhelmed, we need to be more grateful. When we thank Allah before asking for more, we acknowledge His past favors and His ability to provide more. This not only strengthens our reliance on Him, but it also opens multiple doors for more of His blessings. So we should begin our dua by being thankful. Let's look around us. So many things that Allah has blessed us with. There are so many things we have that Allah has not given to so many people. You understand? And it is not because they are less of a person, but Allah decided to give them to us. So we should be more, we should open our hearts. And gratitude deepens our connection with Allah. It also fosters commitments and positivity. You understand? We should reflect on the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done to us. So many times is because we don't show gratitude. It's discouraged or it didn't give us the opportunity to get more. So gratitude the impact of our dua as well.
I understand. Jazakallah khairan for talking about gratitude. I'm talking about the fact that, you know, sometimes with all these challenges, with all these problems, difficulties, okay, and obstacles that we have in our lives, some of these things tend to overwhelm us. And as a result, we feel weak, and in fact, we feel frustrated. Sometimes we even feel hopeless. So how can dua be a source of, emotional resilience and spiritual strengthening to overcome, you know, these challenges that tend to weigh us down? So that then, even though we're probably feeling down, the dua would uplift us. So how does dua really probably help in this regard?
Allah says in Quran 2 verse 1, it says, and when my servant asks you concerning me, indeed I am near. I respond to the invocations of the supplicants when he calls me. We should know that Allah is always accessible, and it gives us a sense of hope and assurance that you are never alone, even in the toughest time. You know, in moments of distress,
simply raise your hands or lower your head or speak to Allah directly, expressing your fears and needs. Like, Allah, I'm in need of your help. Let it be turning to Allah at that point of distress and, you know, overwhelming will bring a, it brings a lot of sense of comfort and peace. If we have the opportunity to perform ablution, the fact that you know that it is your Lord that you have to connect with, still, you understand, it gives you a lot of peace and comfort. Allah even said it in Quran 13, verse 28. Unquestionably, by the remembrance of Allah, the heart feels assured that, yes, after every hardship, there are going to be ease. In Namal Yisri, Israel, there is going to be ease. It is certain. The Prophet says that when there is difficulty, he's always happy. And when there is relief, he's always scared. And the Sahabas ask, why? He says, because when there is distress, he knows that at every point when there is trials and tribulation, what will come after it is ease. It can't be so hard without Allah easing it. Allah will ease it. And when things are going your way, you should know that there are going to be days for you and some days against you. You should know that this world is not a place of luxury. There are days you'll be happy. There are days you are not going to be happy. There are days you are going to be filled. There are days of hunger. There are days of good health. There are days of sickness. There are days of wealth. There are days of poverty. You understand? You can't always have it, but you should be rest assured that after every difficulty, surely there's going to be ease. If you find yourself in any of the situation, if you can't perform ablution, if you can't, you know, do some things, if you can't observe nawafil, do, you know, just short statements like, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil, trusting that Allah is going to be sufficient for you. Wafawidu amri ila Allah in Allah basiru bil'ibad, saying that Allah is in control. Allah, I leave all my fears to you. I want you to control it for me. I want you to make me happy at the end of it all. You understand? Believe that Allah's power and mercy is close by. Nothing repels the divine decree except supplications. Nothing can repel it. A divine decree except supplications.
So, decreed by Allah that it would happen. The only thing that can change it is that what you're saying?
It's dua. So make dua with firm belief that it is not by your power, that it is only Allah's power that can bring ease, even in the darkest moment. So even if you feel that these things cannot work out, just put your belief. Keep repeating it. Keep reminding yourself that I believe, you know, when it gets to a state that your mind will be full of doubtfulness, just keep telling yourself, Sakina, Allah is there. Allah will be sufficient for you. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. Bismillahi alladhi la yaduru ma ismi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama' wa huwa as-sami'ul 'alim. You know, keep telling Allah, keep reassuring yourself. Keep saying words like la ilaha anta subhanaka inni kuntu minaz zalimin. You know? Believing that, you know, Allah will surely be helpful and it will make a way for you. You see, the Prophet said that how amazing is their fear of the believer. Everything that happens to him is
good for him.
Yes, trusting your creator that he has a reason for it. You know, supplicate in times of hardness, in terms of hardship. Just believe that things are going to change. Ya Allah, grant me patience. Make this difficulty a means of drawing closer to you. You know, so many trials are taking people out of the fold of Islam. So many trials are, you know, people just believe that, let me look for a quick solution. Don't be in a haste. Be calm and trust your Lord. Put total reliance on him. No matter how overwhelming it is, Allah will surely come through for you.
Allah,
you know, remove your emotional pain to him. Tell Allah, I'm only complaining of my suffering, my grief to you, Allah. It is only you that I'm complaining to. Even Allah said it in Quran 12, verse 6. He said, I only complain of my suffering. When Prophet Yaqub turned to Allah in times of grief, he told Allah, I'm only complaining my suffering to you. If you can cry, shed tears to your Lord. You know, those people you feel will help you, they don't even have the power to help you. So it's only those Allah sent to you that will come to your rescue. If Allah says no, if Allah is against you, the whole world cannot be for you. And if Allah is for you, the whole world cannot go against you. So just believe that he's the only one that can be there for you. Be honest in your dua, express your pain, fears, and hopes, knowing that Allah understands, and He cares, and it really loves you. So it helps you to even build your spiritual grounding, you understand? Believing that Allah is there for you.
All that you have just said now, in fact, I find it very touching. And I'm able to reflect over the statement the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made when the people of Makkah rejected his message. And when, you know, he sought, refuge in Taif. And he was also stoned. You know, he was pelted with stones.
Yeah.
Like, oh Allah, if you are not angry with me, if you have not taken me, then I am
exactly
regardless of all these challenges. So like the whole world was against him. But he stood for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his iman did not shake. And said, if so far you, Allah, you are pleased with me, then any other problem, any other challenge is nothing to me. So all that you're saying now, I'm just trying to recall how the Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was able to withstand that particular time. You know, you see yourself alone against the world. Your home, you, the people that even thought, okay, let me also go this way. If these people here in Makkah did not receive the message, let me also probably go to Taif. And those ones also,
to Taif.
He was like, man, what is happening? Where else would I be? Well, there is no other place to face other than my Lord. Now, very quickly, Hajar. We know that in this age of social media, distractions, you know, we get distracted easily. And those distractions pull us away from having, you know, very sober and meaningful moments with our Creator. So how can we cultivate the discipline of making, you know, heartfelt dua regularly, so that regardless of all these distractions, we are not taken away from the connection that we're supposed to have with our Creator?
Alhamdulillah. Like I used to tell my daughter, this world is surrounded with so many distractions. You just have to guide yourself, you know, you have to discipline yourself and do so many things. Even as an adult, you know, pressing phone, going on social media, you'll be distracted, and before you know it, you waste a lot of time. So what I feel we should do is set a specific time for dua. I make it a point of like, okay, I won't go out until I read my Quran, if it is just 2 pages a day, or when I wake up from my Qiyamul Layl, I make sure I do some basic things that make me start my day with connecting with my Creator. You understand? And we can do a lot of things. Like, there is this app on phone always reminding us, Askar Reminder is an Askar Reminder, you know? We should download apps like that will help us. I went to a program of recent and somebody saw me using Counter. I was like, I thought they said Tesba is not good. This, and I said, I just need something to guide me, to always bring me back to my Creator. You understand? So, you know, when it's with you, you always feel like, okay, let me share Subhanallah. And at times you will have started discussing about this worldly affairs. My phone will just say Subhanallah. And it helps me to remember to say Subhanallah as well. Even I get the benefit of so many people saying Subhanallah. You know, it is like something trying to trigger us and say, you are sleeping already, wake up. You understand? At times it does a lot. I have learned a lot of dua as regards that app on my phone. 1,000 as a reminder, you know, after every 15 seconds, I think, yes, after every 15 seconds, it reminds me a lot of dua. Some duas is when I'm reciting the Quran, I know, okay, this dua was actually drawn from the Quran. All of them was from the Quran. These days when I recite the Quran in the morning, I feel that, today during my Qiyamul Layl, I still came across one. I was like, Allah Akbar, I needed to go and write down the verse, you understand? We can create a book that whenever we feel that we needed to say something to Allah, we can jot it down. We can have a prayer book, like our own communication prayer book, like a journal, you understand, where you communicate with your Lord. If we don't inculcate all those disciplines, it won't come easy because there is a lot of distraction, you know. And Allah has said, remember your Lord much and exalted in the morning and in the evening. Our daily azkar, our prayers, they are non-negotiable parts of the day. Fixed times that we can talk to Allah. after our five daily prayer, a lot of us just stand up. You know, there was a time I realized that if you make supplication immediately after your daily prayer, those duas are always accepted. Because I remember the Prophet Hassan says that Prophet Musa that was communicating with Allah, that Allah was communicating with him, had over 70 barricades between him and Allah. And Allah, the Prophet Hassan says that immediately one Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stand up to observe his daily prayer, Allah removed all the 70 barricades.
Allah.
That means Allah is in your presence. So it is so annoying when you finish your prayer and you just walk out in the presence of your creator. You know, it is a means for you to raise up your hand, tell him what you want. It is part of my istijab. I know it is a quick collection. It's a quick connection because at that time your Lord is pleased with you. You understand? He is proud of you that you were able to observe your salah. During Qiyamul Layl, I've read it before that a Muslim is not serious, or let's say a Muslim really wants something, he will make sure he continues saying it in his tahajjud, his or her tahajjud. You understand? There are days by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept prayers on Fridays, during breakfast, when you are breaking your fast, and some other things like that. You know? So we should set a reminder on our phone. All this Muslim app, you see people use it a lot. It is to remind you of some things. We should limit social media during key times. Okay, let's discipline ourselves. You see people go for itikaf or umrah and they spend their time still on phone. You understand? We should dedicate space for worship in our homes. Maybe we have a corner where we talk to Allah.
Or home, spending a lot of money just to be far away from distraction and you're still distracted. Well,
exactly.
That's disastrous.
Now, people come for itikaf and started coming to showcase their dressing. People will come bring laptops to come and not to work, just to watch films. People come, you know, at times I feel like, why did you need to make that sacrifice? You can stay in your home. You understand? If anything worth doing, worth doing well. If you want to really connect with your Lord, do it in a more pleasing way. Discipline yourself. Inshallah, during this time, I'm not going to hold my phone. People go to office and they have that type of discipline that, okay, when I'm at work, I don't chat. When I'm at this, I don't do this. We can also achieve it. You understand? Make personal things that we can achieve.
All right.
Incorporate our daily activities like going to the toilet, coming out, eating your food. You understand? There are a lot of things that the Prophet Islam, there is this Islam Muslim.
Because of time, on a final note, so I just want you to probably round off on this note because of time, we are rounding off. Is there any message? So what is it that you probably give to someone, a listener, who has heard all that you have said, but such a person feels disconnected from dua and struggles to find meaning in it? What is that message that I give to that person as a parting shot on today's program?
Now, remember that dua is not just about acting, it's about connecting with Allah, who loves to hear from you no matter where you are in life.
Allah.
Even if you feel distant or unworthy, Allah's door is always open and His mercy is endless. Start with small, honest conversation with Him in whatever words you feel naturally to Him and trust that He listens. Your dua is not just a request, it's a sign of your faith and a bridge back to your Lord. Take one step forward and it will come running to you. Additional encouragement, Allah is near and we are closer to Him than our jugular vein. Even if you feel that Allah, you are not worthy of it, believe that He is your creator and He has nowhere to put you. If you truly go back to Him.
It's time, ma'am. Jazakumullah khairan. And we have to go. It's time. In fact, the time feels inadequate to continue this discussion. Inshallah, I believe probably one other day like that to probably continue with this discussion on the power of prayer. So I'd like to appreciate you, Hajja Sakina Saeed, for all the insights that you have shared. And we also appreciate all our listeners, including those probably who tried to call before one reason or another, they were unable to connect. Jazakumullah khairan. And to the studio managers and everyone who has contributed to making this program possible, we'd like to thank all of you. I'll pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala meet us at the point of our needs. So you can also listen again to this episode or that previous episode of Everyday Muslim on mpac-ng.org. Scroll down and click on the Mpac project to view Everyday Muslim past uploaded episodes. Follow Everyday Muslim on social media, Facebook, Everyday Muslim, Instagram, Everyday Muslim 01. Inshallah, the program will make its way back to your airways next week, same time, 11 a.m., same station, WFM 91.7. I remain Abdul Hakim Qasim. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
When I was young, I was a fool. I was blind, didn't know any better. I was afraid I made too many mistakes, and you'd only look at me as a sinner. No matter how much I would try, all the walls I put up always shattered, until your mercy conquered me. Oh Allah, you know I love my insecurities, and you keep them getting far away. Oh Allah, you hide all of my sins and impurities, and you call me back when I go astray. Whatever I did, whatever I said, that's wrong. It was only because I was fed up. I thought I could do it all, that I was strong, but it turned out I wasn't so clever. No matter how much I would try, all the walls I put up always shattered, until your mercy conquered me.